Today, we'll see if warning lights from the American real estate market are blips or something more serious. From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio. The National Association of Realtors will give us an update later today on existing home sales during November. These have been tracking at levels last seen in 2007, before the Great Recession, but that's not the whole story, as Marketplace's Annie Baxter reports.
The housing market has improved a lot in recent years.
But we're not where we should be. We really are not.
Housing economist Elliot Eisenberg says there are too few homes for sale, partly because some owners refinanced and now feel locked into their low mortgage rates. With supply low, prices are rising, which is mostly good. But Eisenberg says prices may be climbing too fast.
These house price increases exceed income increases.
He says there aren't enough affordable entry-level homes. And as interest rates rise, move-up buyers face challenges too. Take Matthew Shemp. He and his wife hope to sell their condo in West St. Paul, Minnesota in the spring. But rising mortgage rates mean their family of four might have to make do with one bathroom, not two, in their next home.
We can only afford a mortgage payment that's so large.
Elliot Eisenberg says housing affordability would improve and sales would bump up if there were more new home construction coming online. But
there's a shortage of land and there's a shortage of labor. The only fix is more construction, but it doesn't come.
So Eisenberg says the housing shortage continues. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
Checking markets, the FTSE in London is down 0.1%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are mixed, with the Dow future up only slightly. Now to Italy, where the government's working on what to do about a teetering old bank. We got the BBC's David Willey on the line from Rome.
This is an extraordinary bank, the Monte dei Paschi, because its headquarters is in one of the historic towns of Tuscany in Siena. The headquarters looks like some sort of medieval castle.
It has this long tradition, but it got itself in trouble, and those troubles are becoming especially acute now.
The share price in Monte dei Paschi has fallen to an all-time low, and the the Milan Stock Exchange has suspended trading in the shares because of this big fall.
Now, EC rules suggest that the Italian government should not step in, but it may have to anyway.
The European Central Bank carried out a stress test on the bank last summer, and it was quite clear that the Monte dei Paschi was in very bad situation. So it's no surprise here. Several, particularly of the smaller banks, are in danger of going under. In fact, one has gone under, and a lot of small savers have lost their money. And the fear is that this contagion should spread and that a lot more Italians are going to lose their life savings.
Always good to talk to the BBC's veteran Rome man, David Willey. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Marketplace is a nonprofit service supported by you, the people we serve each and every day with news about money, jobs, innovation in all of their forms. I'm here to ask if you could make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. If you could donate at marketplace.org by December 31st. I felt bad the other day. I realized I didn't get you anything for the holidays. And then I realized I could for each and every one of you. I'm going to talk to three people over the next 3 days who've written books that, for me, shined a little light into these short, dark days. Today, Dr. Brilliant. That's his name, Dr. Larry Brilliant, who these days is chairman of the Skoll Global Threats Fund. But listen to his resume. He was once essentially the team doctor for the Grateful Dead. And after traveling with rock and roll bands in the early 70s, he ends up in India with a guru who told him, instead of sitting around here praying, get out there and cure smallpox from all of India, which he does as part of a World Health Organization team. His memoir is called Sometimes Brilliant, and Larry joined us from San Francisco.
The teacher that we were living with says to me, my destiny is to leave the meditation of the monastery and go down to Delhi and work with the United Nations because this terrible disease, smallpox, was going to be eradicated as a gift from God to lift one form of suffering from the backs of humanity. And that sounded as strange to me then as it probably sounds to you now. My first day going out to the field, a wonderful man named Bill Fagey, who became the head of CDC, took me to see my first case of smallpox, children dying all around us. And I was distraught and helpless and despondent. And Bill said, there's nothing to do. We have no cure. That's why we must eradicate this disease.
So you see the account in the book, but, you know, of all the problems we have in this world, the big one is not smallpox, is it? You did it.
That's right. This is a disease which in the 20th century killed over 500 million people. And when smallpox was eradicated, it was the end of an unbroken chain of transmission that went back to the pharaohs.
Yet public health nightmares persist around the world and here in the U.S. I mean, what are some of the lessons of your work back then to the current situation?
I think the biggest lesson for me is that after we did eradicate smallpox, this impossible task, kids would be going into schools of public health and medical school and not going into business or law as much. And there was this feeling in the air that you could actually accomplish something meaningful. I was a professor then at the University of Michigan, and my classes were crowded with young people who wanted to do something great and noble again. As long as we can prove that we are not the incompetent louts that our current political vitriol would have us be, then many people want to work together to help the poorest and most vulnerable amongst us.
The book is called Sometimes Brilliant, The Impossible Adventure of a Spiritual Seeker and Visionary Physician Who Helped Conquer the Worst Disease in History. Among so many things, Dr. Brilliant is also co-founder of the SEVA Foundation, which helps prevent blindness, and he serves as chairman of the board for the Skoll Global Threats Fund. Larry Brilliant, thank you.
David, thanks for having me.
If you have time later today, go to marketplace.org and hear our full interview that includes details of his time as a rock and roll doc. Tomorrow, we will open another gift here, the book is by a guy who was born rich, who explains why he gave all his money away as a young man. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.